Well, good afternoon. Why don't we bring the meeting to order? This is the Minnesota Electronic Real Estate Recording Commission meeting for February 18th of 2010. And the members here present include Mike Kniff, Jeanine Barker, Jeff Carlson, Larry Boulder, and I have on the phone Sean, right? Give me your last name.
Yeah, Sean Rounds, R-O-U-N-D-S.
From the Historical Society.
Yes.
And I don't believe we have Eileen Roberts today, as she got a last-minute conflict at school and couldn't make it. And I don't believe we have Ryan Tangen, unless he's on the phone with us. Not hearing him? Okay, Ryan is not here then. I think that accounts for...
This is Pam Trombo.
And we have Pam. Good.
C-R-O-M-B-O.
Trombo's the name, trouble's the game, right?
The Polish version, not the French one.
Okay, Pam. Maybe we just ask then if the rest of you that are on the telephone, maybe just give your name so that our recorders can get down who else is joining us today.
Teresa Mitchell with Dakota County.
Teresa Mitchell, Dakota County. Got that one? Yep.
Lynette Shrook, McLeod County.
Okay, thanks, Lynette.
Kay Rookie, Martin County.
Thank you, Kay. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Bob Wrights, First American.
Thank you, Bob.
Mario Monticelli, St. Louis County.
Mario. Ah, wow.
And it's Kay's birthday today.
Wow. Oh, a couple days ago, I'm old already.
Oh, wow. Sorry, I didn't know.
This is Mario Downhill Monticelli himself.
You got
okay.
it. You got it.
Got him. Any others of you on the phone? Well, thank you for joining us. And in addition to the ones whose names I've mentioned, we've got Larry Deline here in person, Jennifer Wagenius, Sherry Simpson from my office, Dallin Miner
yep.
from Simple File, and Dean Pass from West Central Indexing or Excess Consulting.
YouTube.
YouTube. Right. Yes. And then we've got Diane and... I was going to say, Dialy and Dialy and Diane, and of course, I can't forget the other gentleman that is also here with us normally is Bill Maury, who also joins us for our meeting. So with that, I'm just going to ask for approval of the agenda. Any additions, questions on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll proceed with the agenda as written. Minutes, next first item then on the approval of the minutes from the January meeting of last month. Those have an opportunity to review those and questions, comments, revisions. Any questions or revisions? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
It's been approved by Jeff Carlson to approve. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Terry. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes stand approved. Let's go on to committee reports. Anything new on the trusted submitter, Jeff? I'll just ask you if there's any activity that's been going on that end.
There's nothing new to report. I mean, Janelle worked with me on trying to get the year-end report strapped together, and that's about all accomplished over the last month.
Good. Good. You have not had any other meetings since we met last month, then. MLTA did not?
We had a board meeting, but there was
Okay.
We met right before. That's right. We met right before that last meeting.
It was it before? Okay, I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, that was. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I'm sorry.
Very good.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do we have most of the trusted submitters doing business with our county? I mean, are there any out there to be approved?
I'm sure we can probably do a better job of that. We do through MLTA put things out there consistently about e-reporting. I think in most part, people are still somewhat sitting on the sidelines due to some of the holding off because of the deeds and the CRV, so they can do everything at once. But I think as far as that goes, the information's out there. Are we out there actively going out to each submitter? I'll say no, other than the email blast that goes out through MLTA. I don't know if Alan may be able to add to that, if he's getting, if there's other things that he's seen that I haven't seen.
I was just curious to get that into our minutes that we are actively or not actively. I know, and I guess maybe I'm thinking more, I realize that individual companies go through your companies to do that. I guess maybe that's the question I probably should have asked. Do we have a lot of people, a lot of different organizations looking at you reporting now? But you're saying they're waiting.
You mean like, let me ask. See, you mean like companies like Simplify or NGO? Are you saying are there new companies that are coming into the... Well, I don't know that there's a lot there. I mean, there's kind of the same basic set. There's NGO, Simplifile, ourselves. Dean is doing any with anyone as a submitter side. Fiddler, possibly on there with some things they're doing through EPM and ACS with ERX, but it's pretty much the same group. EPN would be a newer group, but that's, I don't know that they're necessarily actively coming into the market. If that's the question you're asking, are there more companies
and
that are...
And then are there more companies approaching those companies?
Yeah, I'll say...
We're getting them from the same people all the time.
The same... Oh, the submissions, yeah.
The submissions. So, as a county, I guess maybe, my numbers will only increase when either Simplify or you get more customers going through you to come to us, or we get more of your companies doing business in Minnesota. And so more of the submitter companies are coming to us. So, I guess that's the only way we're going to increase our numbers.
And for us to get our word, get the word out there, like you say, we've made a couple of the email blasts through MLTA to say, okay, level 2 has been approved. When we approve the first round, that you can send these documents as level 2 and that type of thing. We haven't necessarily said, we'll contact such and such companies or that type of thing, but we can certainly say if you need help, we can list out all the companies that are out there currently doing business today, and maybe there's something in that order.
And I guess, you know, it's probably not the commission's responsibility to drum up business, but it's the information through it is the only way that people are more aware of the counties that do it and the counties that accept it, and then our association has to, Reporters Association has to work on those counties who haven't even started accepting them yet, but can, but aren't doing it.
Well, and I'll say from our side, because we are a little different than what, say, a process that Simplifile provides, but from my experience, we haven't run into the situation where somebody says, oh, gee, I had no idea your recording was even available. You know what I mean? I mean, I think they're generally aware, but maybe Dallin can add to that as well. If he's seen that situation where I said, boy, I'm glad you called because I had no idea that things were happening.
Every once in a while, we'll hit a submitter, maybe a law firm, a company, a credit union that's not aware of it. Anytime a county opens, we do a big push with the submitters to try to increase electronic recording. But whenever we can, we advocate what's been decided here in the ERA, etc. But it's absolutely a chicken and the egg game because the submitters want more counties. There are sometimes counties that want to know the submitters. So that's the dance as we start. As soon as you get a pocket that there's basically continuous counties matched against the doc types. Of course, we're still hearing lots of buzz amongst the submitters around the Department of Revenue status and how soon they can do, as they say, a whole package. Then we're good to go. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mostly I just wanted it to be in the discussion.
And this is Rob with First American. I think I'm gleaning a basic understanding of what the question is regarding prospective submitters here. I had a hard time hearing Janine and Jeff, but I will say that Dallin does make a good point. Submitters are holding back due to the availability of document types. We just came on, and the reason that we decided to take the plunge was not so much the availability in Minnesota at this point as the availability in Iowa and other venues that just finally made us realize that, man, we got to get moving on this and not wait for the developments in Minnesota, particularly with the ECRV, to get this moving.
And I will bring up, we did throw a questionnaire out there a few months back to the MLPA, and a couple of the responses that did come back were some places that had a large presence in one county, they weren't as necessarily as excited about that county having e-recording as maybe counties 2-3 away to save them a trip. Type of thing. So it was having that broad spectrum, a little bit what Rob is saying, is they open up the spectrum within their group. So
that's
where the chicken and egg problem comes in.
And that's basically where I'm coming from. I probably receive 2 or 3 mortgages a day through Federal Express or somebody from First American Title. I don't understand why they're not even recording them as opposed to paying that delivery service.
Yeah. I see there. Yeah, I see there.
and so you know, that's where my question came from, is they aren't physically close enough to deal with us. My small companies they're still not understanding what good it does if they can drop it off at our office or mail it to us, you know, from down the block. They're not seeing the e-recording advantage yet. But so, you know, when I receive probably four what I call special deliveries a day, you look at the cost of that compared to, and each of them having 2 or 3 mortgages in them, and I'm not even looking at full packages. These are mortgages or mortgage modifications only that are coming that way. That could be done electronically. I guess that's why I was asking if there was any way to reach these people to do the electronic reporting. But information is out there. That's there.
And Priya does a good job of putting that out there as well. So if it's a First American, let's use them as an example, but they're, say, maybe a California-based First American, they can go to the Priya site and see who and, you know, if they're e-reporting eligible and that type of thing. So
I think what I'm hearing clearly from the title industry is now, as we get the ability to do CRVs and deeds and mortgages and the entire package, they're now willing to engage and begin to look at the process of doing electronic recording, which up until now had not necessarily been the case in Minnesota. I'm hearing what Rob has just said to us coming from other sources as well. And I think as we have some of the larger counties that get added on to the playing field, some of us who have been on the sidelines for the last year, that will also help make it more attractive to do business all over in the state of Minnesota. And I think that will help in marketing from companies like Simplifile and US Recording and NGO and the ePartners and the others as well to make those services available as we have more of the counties also that are available to receive in the state of Minnesota. So I think certainly by the second half of this year, I think we will see a significant upturn in the opportunities at least available throughout Minnesota with all of that kind of coming into play. And I guess I see it as a pretty exciting time on the horizon. So, but I think those two things have got to come together. And there's other of us in the room. I know, you know, Larry, you're looking at it. And Mark, I know up in St. Louis, you've been looking at it now, too, in terms of where to take next. And again, as some of the larger counties in their geographic areas begin to come on board, it makes it more attractive for submitters then to do it for a whole array of customers in a given geographic area. So I think that's going to be a real exciting time here in the next 6 to 10 months to see a major transition begin to occur. So
would also continue to remind the recorders and this committee that it saves government money in these difficult times anytime you don't have to pay for mailback costs. So that's, again, something that on the county side is a big positive, and hopefully with the budget push and solving that, that'll also help push forward e-recording.
Jeff, thank you for the update on the submitter side. I have good discussion here about where we're at on that front. Next item on the agenda is a county recorder update. I just share with you, Chris Basilici had a death in the family and wasn't able to join us today, but she has been working very diligently about the recording activities throughout the state of Minnesota for 2009. And most every county has their data submitted. There's a couple yet that still need to finalize some of that data information that we will have. It certainly appears that 2009 was a little bit better year recording-wise in terms of volumes than 2008, but I do put the emphasis on a little bit better, not a whole lot more documents coming in. But there was some increase, and that's better. There were some decreases in foreclosures and certainly some increases in mortgage activity that took place during last year, pretty much throughout the entire state. Yes?
I have a question about that information. What is the commission's intent? Is that going to be part of this annual report that you're doing to the legislature? And if so, I think some of the our fellow recorders have heartburn about making those numbers quite so visible to the politicians in the state. And I think there would be some, if we wanted to use the numbers at all, maybe it would be like percentages of documents that get recorded. You know, this percentage of Torrance documents got recorded Model 2, and this percentage got recorded Model 3. It's kind of a baseline because now that we've opened up all these new document types, I would expect that over the course of the next year or two that it's going to escalate fairly quickly now that we can record more documents, particularly once the ECRB gets out there. So I think the percentages are more important really than the actual numbers, because we're trying to show that we're, you know, e-recording is starting to take off in these. So that's a suggestion that Chris and I had in discussing because of the reluctance of some reporters to share this information, even though it's public, or it should be.
Wasn't that discussed last time, our meeting? And
probably.
I thought it was decided on the percentage.
I just wanted to make sure that that's what we were doing, mm-hmm. because there's still some recorders that have heartburn.
Thought that was discussed already, but.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, can I have you kind of summarize and repeat the question? It was hard to hear.
It really wasn't a question. It was an observation that was coming from Larry and Chris with regard to the document numbers being recorded around the state by county, and that some of the recorders have some concern about the how public the information becomes when people see the total number of documents recorded. And the suggestion was that we might focus and hone in on what the percentage changes of recording activity is, and what the percentage of those documents that are coming in electronically in both abstract and torrens versus dealing with just absolute numbers, and that would be better received by our recording colleagues. That was the suggestion in the discussion for those of you on the phone. Did I capture it well, Larry?
Better? Precisely.
Okay.
Thank you. That sounds good, by the way.
Okay. We will certainly take that into account when we do the final on the report. We may talk about that a little bit when we get to that part of the agenda. The other thing I wanted to do here is on the agenda is the Model 2 attribute and the schema discussion. We've got with us here Dean Pass, who graciously was agreeable to come down and share a little bit about the work that he did in taking the standards that we created as a commission and taking the information that Pam went back with our subcommittee to try and map out some schema based on the standard that that we have approved. And Dean said that he would kind of give us a short education lesson about what he did and how it works and what it's all about. And I'm going to turn it over to Dean to kind of share that with us. For those of you on the phone, I'm sorry you probably aren't going to be able to see this, but Dean does have his projector here, or our projector, and his information that he's going to go through with us. Is this something you'd be able to post with us too, Dean, or is there...
Post.
Put out on a website that we could...
Well, probably more likely it would be easy enough to just email it to the group if you want to send it to me.
Okay.
And I'm going to use two files, Pam's
uh-huh.
file
okay.
and the file that's already been posted and distributed by...
All right.
And those were emailed out to the group.
To the group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, basically, I'm going to try and tie the two together to the best of my ability.
Okay.
But I could do this again at another function.
Okay.
All right. So, and there was great consternation, I know, when I first mentioned this a while ago, and I didn't know why. But so I hope I can explain what it is that I did. So we took Pam's Excel spreadsheet, which you'll notice calls out the PREA elements and the PREA attributes, and they Pam and Larry and I don't know who all else,
Chris,
graciously added a column for me that tells whether or not this attribute or element is required for which document, because it was, I think, a bit ambiguous to begin with, but they put it in there, and that helped a lot. So what I did was I took this big spreadsheet, which has a lot of information in it, and I tied it directly to the PREA standard by which it was created. and which is the 241 schema. So all I did was create a graphical representation that of the spreadsheet that if you were a developer, you could utilize what I did to protect yourself. Make sure that what you're doing is going to be acceptable in Minnesota. I'm going to use an analogy that's pretty basic, but and you know, stop me if you think I'm way too basic, but there's schemas and XML documents. They live in the same world, but they're different. And think of it this way. The little toy you had as a kid that had a circle and a diamond and a triangle, and it was a round ball. Well, it wasn't a round ball, but it had sides on it. And you took the circle and you put it in the circle hole, and you put the triangle in the triangle hole. But you couldn't put the triangle in the circle hole, right? So what a schema is that ball, that nine-sided, eight-sided ball. And the XML document that NGO or Dallin or anyone's going to submit is the little toy piece. And if Dallin's going to send me a circle, I'm going to have a circle schema for that document to fit into. And if it doesn't, I'm going to take it back to him and say, you didn't submit it per Minnesota's requirements. Does everybody get that then? So the part that I did was the schema part, which said, okay, and now I'll start using the graphics. A satisfaction, and these are all the ones that are on the list that Pam gave me. Notice with no, a notice NR is notice with no associated document, a regular notice with an associated document, mortgage, mod, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so if you're going to throw me a circle, a satisfaction, it's going to have to conform to PREA's 241 schema. Beyond that, and here's where Minnesota said, okay, yeah, that's cool. We're going to take PREA, and we're going to make it more ours. So beyond it having to conform to the basics of PREA, because PREA says this is optional, or this is optional, or there's a lot of things that are optional. We're not going to make it optional anymore. And here's a good one right here, the unique identifier. We're not going to make that optional. That has to be in there. Not only does it have to be in there, and so if I go here, I can see right here is where I've extended this and said, okay, they say it's optional, we say it's required. So I made it required. Not only did I make it required, but it has to be at least one character long. Not only does it have to be one character long, but that character can't be a space. So we're being really specific on how that circle has to be constructed in order for it to get into Minnesota's systems, whoever's doing the recording here. So you can't get to that level, right, where it has to be one character and that character can't be a space. You can't get that from Pam's spreadsheet. You can't. You can infer it. Well, duh, if you're going to make it required, you better make it required with some content. Well, without going into a huge dialogue within the spreadsheet, it's really hard to convey that. It's really easy to convey it when you look at the schema. It's right there. And it looks Greek because it's all code, but it's there. If you use this, now not only can you understand that it's required, but to what extent it's required. So we haven't created anything new, which I know was the big consternation part. We didn't create anything new. All I did was take PREA's already published schema and overlay the extensions that Minnesota has already approved onto it. And I did that for each document because each document type had some things that were required and some that weren't. And the thing that I couldn't do, okay, so that's what I did do. The thing that I couldn't do and the thing that, the only person that I believe cared enough to look at this was Jason Parker. Is this stuff in here?
Yeah, I've got it here.
So the one thing that Jason brought up that right off the bat I know Jason would bring up and is a legitimate thing to bring up is, and I'm gonna show you this graphically, but I'll speak it so that everybody else can hear me. If we go down to in the schema. Put it in here somewhere. There it goes. If we go down to, so let's say you have a document type that requires, or the recording endorsement is an element that is required in the type of document you're submitting. So one of the rules that is written here, right here under, well, let's just take affidavit without a reference document. The identifier field is required, and if unique identifier is 1, then it's required. If not, it's not. And so anytime you see the word if thens are really hard to do in a schema. They just are. They're impossible in the basic way to do schemas. But it's a very important part of what we're doing because of abstract and torrents, because unique identifiers required a 0 or a 1, telling us it's abstract or it's torrents. If it's a 1, then something else also has to be required, or there's another rule beyond that. That's hard for, it's hard for him to do in the spreadsheet. It's even harder to do in the schema. And what Jason is suggesting is a mechanism, Schematron is one of many, that we could employ to build in the checks for if-thens. And should it be done? Probably, but I think that's more on the implementation of a check utility. We call them a harness. So if somebody wants to record in Minnesota, you have to pass the test. You have to be certified, certification test. I think that whoever builds that test harness, that certification harness, could employ what Jason is saying to make the testing more, you know, Olympic-like, where everybody's on the same playing field, and the test harness, the certification harness, would build in all the business if-thens that are really hard to do with a spreadsheet or with a schema. He's right, and it's good. It's just I did not go to those lengths, because this is probably a good start. I mean, anyone that does XML could take what I've done and build at a minimum their own validator of using it, saying I'm gonna throw my circle at this other thing that should accept the circle, and if it does, I should be able to put it anywhere in any county in Minnesota, period. If it doesn't, I shouldn't be sending it, and if it doesn't and I send it and it makes it in, then the person on the other side has a faulty system because it should have kicked it back. That is in a nutshell what I've done. Do we want more? I can go into serious detail, but did I explain what I did and hopefully take away some of the fear that we've created this monster and we're starting from scratch, because we're not. And in fact, so stop me when you think I need to stop. In fact, with Prius 3.0 out there, what you've already done, taking the spreadsheet that Pam has done. When 3.0 is approved, we're going to have to take that spreadsheet that Pam has done, and we're going to have to data element, you know, forward it to the data elements in Prius 3, and presumably, if you like what I've done and we make it part of the state's standard, then we need to do that as well. And the sooner the better. I wouldn't wait until it's approved and out there and everyone else is using it before we get to that point.
starting now would not be a stupid thing to do. I'm not speaking for Pam because the work we put in is insignificant, but I wouldn't wait too long to have that part done either, because Cree is moving a lot faster on 3 than it did on any other one. And it's way better. Way better.
You've had a chance to look at it?
I have. I've been looking at it. And I started out participating in the initial phone calls about it, and it was minutia that was being angled, I thought. So I like it. It's good. It's so much better.
Galen, you and Bill, have you had following on those? I know you have, Bill, right?
Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, we're working with Simplifile to, we're one of the test beds for 3.0.
Yep.
We're trying to see if we can push documents through there and what it takes to change the things, and it's a significant change from 2.4.1. I certainly agree it's far superior. Winter Conference Symposium is coming up here in the first part of March, as I'm sure you're mostly all aware, and it's going to be extensively discussed there. And I would also agree that it's moving very fast. I wouldn't be surprised if it's approved within, certainly I would think, this year and perhaps the first part of this year. So it will behoove us to move. I think we can wait a couple of weeks here to see what happens, if there's any significant upheaval out there about it. I doubt there will be, but it's going to get a pretty thorough review, I believe, the first part of March in D.C., and so I'd suggest that we wait for the output of that and then see if we can get what the appropriate action from then on would be. But it's moving fast, and it's definitely secure. Dal, maybe you have any input or additional input to that. I don't know if you're dealing with that much at the detail level.
Our Director of Integration, Dave Stevenson, is a part of the subcommittee with PREA, so he's heavily involved in that.
Yeah.
And he's feeling the same way, Dal?
Similar. I won't speak in detail for him, but he's right in the heart of it.
Okay. Tell me, because I don't know, what the approval process is at PREA, say, after the winter symposium, and they get all their feedback. They take it back and they re-examine what they've got, and then what's the next steps that it has to go through?
You know, Kay may know that better than I do. If she's still on the line.
Kay and Mark, you're both on the line. I don't know if you heard the question. Once the winter symposium is over, where PREA will be examining the 3.0 standard recommendation, I presume they take it back and deal with it from the policy perspective, and what does it take to move forward and then get a PREA approval for the 3.0 standard that's out there right now for comments?
We'll take it back, and there'll be a time frame, just like once they have to look at it and review it again, there'll be probably a time frame for review. The annual conference is coming up in June, like the 20th, right around that time frame in Chicago. And at that time, I would think if the comment period is done, or the review of the comment period, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, from your group, it will go forward and be a vote of the board to be submitted at that time. So I would assume that. Any difference, I'll let you know. Mark's not on the line anymore, so it's a little difficult to hear you guys, so
okay.
That covers it.
Yeah, I would agree with Kay that it looks, you know, I believe that, you know, the, without them having said so, they are hoping to be able to confirm in the June timeframe. I think the challenge issue discussion point for us here is the fact that we will have the need to support 2.4.1 for a while, as well as 3.0, and do we and how do we deal with the issue that we're talking about vis-a-vis those both of those items?
Right. Right. Well, it seems to me that if people are comfortable, we ought to take some of the work that Dean has done and put out there again for a period of time, and maybe have the commission consider voting on it at next month's meeting so that we've got it out there. But at the same time, I think it's probably behooves us sometime within the next month, if we can cajole our subcommittee of Chris and Larry and Pam to take a look at 3.0 in light of what we now have and identify, you know, the elements and the attributes and the things that might need to be changed. And then if we could twist Dean's arm to do this exercise again on 3.0 once we've got word of what the final would tend to look like. Now, do we do that before Priya would finalize it? I wouldn't want to do it before Priya... I wouldn't want to have the commission here approve it before Priya has finalized it. But can we start doing some of the groundwork before Priya has approved something after the winter conference? And I would think the answer to that would be yes. Bill?
Yeah, I would certainly expect that we could do some kind of a cross-reference to data tags, if nothing, at the least, you know. Here's what the field was in 2.4.1, here's what it is in 3.0. If there are tag differences, I haven't looked that closely at myself. But, and some of us that are working on those things have obviously encountered them in great detail, so, you know, with the proper persuasion, might be allowed to, might be glad to try to help that committee with that, do some of that preliminary work. So, the answer to your question,
well, why don't we do this?
With the change, the new data,
I don't know.
So they're going to do some of the mapping, and I mean, there would probably wouldn't be that much. Once that came out, then we could say, okay, now we.
You know, I didn't ask that very question when we first came out with it, and I didn't see anything come out. Doesn't mean they didn't do it, but you can bet I'll be beating the drums to try to get some published documentation and maybe even processes that will help people move from one to the other. I think right now they've been focusing on, does it work? You know, and how much does it take, especially on the receiving side, because it is totally different. How much change does it take from us as technical folks dealing with this thing to adapt to the new standard?
It's a blockchain. I mean,
yeah, it's really a schema, full-blown schema, and it's a significant improvement.
Okay. Let's do this. We'll put this on for an update at the March meeting just to find out what's happened at the March CREA conference and to see where it's at. And I don't think we need to go any further than that at this point in terms of moving ahead with anything. But if people are comfortable with that, we'll do that. Are there any other questions for Dean on the work that he's done?
Well, I just have a question, and maybe for Dean or the whole group, really. So our process now is we have that document that we Pam and Larry and Chris put together originally, which we approved as the standards.
Right.
And then we said that there may be some slight modifications to that document, which I believe has happened.
Right.
Correct? So really what our next step is to say, okay, here's the new version of that document, plus layered on top of that is the schema.
Correct.
Which we need to approve. And there's still a decision. It sounds like what Jason is suggesting here is prudent and is a good idea, but do we have the resources to do it, the bandwidth, that type of thing? Or do we say, can we get to this point with doing the schema, getting those two, you know, to the original document, the new version of the document approved, the schema approved at the next meeting? Then, if people want to go ahead then, after the March meeting, they can move on this, on that document. I don't know about the thing that Jason's suggesting here, it's tough with an unfunded mandate to get achieve as many things as we want to achieve. So I don't know, does that, I mean, Dean, do you have any idea what the scope of that type of work is?
Well, here, I'll answer that first. Here's my two cents. We started off by asking the question, how many submitters are there? Very few. Quantity. They might be doing a lot of documents, but the number of companies doing it are very small. The number of software vendors that you have on the inside of the counties is relatively small. Part of what Jason is suggesting is a mechanism by which a certification mechanism, certification tool can be created that's reproducible, repeatable, so that other people can, one, start submitting and understand that it's going to be reliably received, and other people can start building receiving machines. If we don't do that part, if we don't incorporate mostly what Jason has said into some certification test harness, and the number elevates really quickly this year or next year, then the the number of systems that are going to be in the state, how are you going to say, yes, you can now record in the state ABC County says, you know what, greatest thing since sliced bread, this system I want in my county, I'm switching, and they do e-recording. Oh, really? Do they? Do they do it to the level that Minnesota says they have to do it? Right now, I have no idea, because we don't have a way to say they do. The time involved is not insignificant. But what Pam's done and what I've laid on top of it is a pretty strong start for someone else. I don't really care, someone else, Pam, me, another entity, to take and build that mechanism and incorporate whatever technologies, Jason's technologies, any other technologies into it, to have a certification routine mechanism, give it any word you want. If we don't, I hope e-recording takes off like crazy, but I'm afraid of what happens when it does, and this group right here that makes decisions about how the state handles it is going to go, we got 500 people that want to submit in the state, but we can't because we don't know how to test them.
And that's where our conversation has been before, that was supposed to be our next step, is how to validate the vendor of the county.
Yes. And
that's the only one that needs to be validated, is the vendor of the county, correct?
I believe that has always been the thought, and I still agree with it. I'll add one caveat to that. Lawyers aren't lawyers for life. They have to do continuing ed. Systems should always be tested.
Test time would be when we change basically from 2.0 whatever to 3.0, right?
At a minimum, you have to be tested for the new approved Minnesota version of whatever PREA is going to come up with. But anytime a company, I can make a change to my system that Mike uses, irrespective of what's, and I can break the ERER system, and it'll start accepting documents it shouldn't. But you'd never know that if you didn't test it. So, yeah, test it, and now you're approved, but we're going to throw a known bad document at your system, like, every random number of days, and it better get kicked, because we know it's bad, and if it doesn't, we're calling you. You changed your system. It's no longer compliant. Now, is that anal? Yeah, absolutely. But if once you have the test harness built, the hard part done, then randomly sending these out to the counties that are doing e-recording is not that hard. Because your test harness generates the good documents. It also generates the known bad documents. You send it, and if it gets kicked, which you expect it to, life goes on. If it doesn't, better call them. They change their system.
And
just to add more work to an unfunded.
That was going to be my next question.
Well, I said my 2 cents, not my $200.
but that was my next question: is who do we have to employ someone to send those bad documents?
Unless anyone in this room that stepping up to say they'll do it, you're going to have to hire someone to do this. This being maintain the technology forward. To do it right, yeah. To do it, no. To do it right, yes, absolutely. I think there has to be someone, and it doesn't have to be funded. But
so we could be looking at, the vendor has to pay to be recertified every...
I'm not listening. Yeah, why not? Why not? And maybe the submitter should kick in a little bit, too. I don't know. If you want to submit, you have to pay a fee once a year to submit. And if you want to be a vendor, you have to pay a fee once a year to be a vendor. And that money goes into making sure that everything works as expected.
The issue, and I think we've talked about before, about certification and validation, and I always thought it was important. But the issue that I think we've come to in the last year and a half with our commission is it is going to require money. And that is the sort of thing that I'm a little bit hesitant about, having a vendor who is a submitter or a vendor who is a builder of receiving machines or indexing become the one that becomes the validator of whether or not those systems are doing what the standard says, just for conflict of interest issues.
Absolutely.
And in order to do this, you really have to have some funding to be able to hire somebody who's independent, who's got the technical knowledge. It would be nice to have the business knowledge as well, in order to do that type of testing. I don't see that we're going to have the funding in the immediate future. I don't see that we've also got the wherewithal at this point to assess fees on submitting companies like, Simplifile or U.S. Reporting or those, because we don't have the technology embraced and accepted well enough to do it. I do think, Dean, when we do get to that avalanche of people that want to do electronic recording, and we've got that, how do we make sure that everybody's doing it properly? We're then going to be in a point where we say, all right, now can we assess, in order to go to a new version, you as submitters and you counties that are now having systems need to get them recertified, and we pick a period of time, and people will have to pay to have that done, and maybe we use that fee to hire somebody to do that. But I think if we're going to get this thing off the ground and try and create the demand, which I think is where we want to head, I don't know that we've got the wherewithal to do the validation piece at this point, other than to rely on counties, vendors, at this point, to make certain that they're adhering to the standards that we're creating at the state level, which is kind of where we have been all along. And it's what I understand most other counties are doing. They're saying they're adhering to the PREA standard, and they're relying on their vendor to do that. It's much easier in other states because most other states are not saying anything about mandating certain types of requirements beyond what PREA has, of what PREA says are optional. And we're saying, well, some of those things are going to be mandatory in Minnesota.
That's correct.
So we're going to be expecting more probably from submitters here, and our vendor systems are going to have to test for that, but that shouldn't be that difficult because the things we're mandating are the things that go into our indexes, are the things that Minnesota law requires us to have that we're already dealing with our vendor indexing companies already with. So I'm comfortable in doing or going forward the way where we're at right now. It's not my preferred approach, but I would think it would be terrible if we tried to step back and say we wouldn't move forward any sooner if it required us to try and find a way to certify everybody's system at this point and every year to do that, because I don't see that we've got the funding mechanism. Or maybe, Dallin, you tell me. Simplifia willing to step up to have things certified every year?
I appreciate.
I've never heard you at such a loss for words.
Well, this again is the whole discussion is around two different philosophies.
Yeah.
One philosophy, you just named it. One philosophy is you have standards and you adhere to those standards. On the flip side, you have rules, hard and fast rules. I mean, our analogy would be we prefer that you speak French only, versus you can communicate in French or Spanish or English, depending on the situation, to make sure that it's gone through. I mean, one of their misnomers, Simplifia looks in, is that none of the technology for e-recording is done absent of you. A county recorder or someone in their office is looking at the document and inspecting to make sure that it's correct. Now, as we integrate, we want to make sure that that's going into the system, but once that's been validated, they have the rejection because of visually to reject it at any time. So coming back, I'm not sure what Simplifia would do. I'm not sure if, in spite of all of our sunk costs to try to assist getting e-recording ramped, if all of a sudden we're being assessed even more fees, what Simplifia's strategic business decision would be, especially in states like in North Dakota that says, we know because of your integration that you're trusted. We know because of the visual that our county recorders are looking at that the document that says it's a deed is a deed and that it's going to be recorded. And there's a vast difference in philosophy between the two states. So I can't speak for what Simplifia might do. If there is a huge fee and the competitive market is very lean, then Simplifia might say, we'll continue with current customers, but if only one state out of 50 wants us to certify that we're valid, when in all other 49 states they're saying, we trust you because of your track record and because of the way the system's designed, that is the $64 question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's a valid question to ask at the national level, and I'm glad to bring that forward. I don't know, Mike, if there are any other states that are contemplating certification. I think it's been an avoided topic simply because of the legal implications of it. CREA itself avoids the term. Mm-hmm. Will not has consciously decided not to certify, have any kind of certification process so that somebody can say we are CREA compliant and legally say that. Because they understand that you have to grant that terminology means there is a certification behind it. So, but I'd be more than glad to bring that up. I'm sure Kay Wood and others that are going to be at the CREA conference, if there are states that are contemplating that. And I would also add one other thought to what we've been talking about here is, you know, this process of certification is one element of the possible go forward many elements that this committee is going to need to be embracing over time. And you know, not the least of which is keeping this thing current. Whatever we evolve here, and I'm sure it will continue to evolve, is going to take continued work effort. And I think we have to convince ourselves and the legislature that this committee, if it's going to exist and be of any good value at all, has to be funded.
Good luck.
Well, you know, there is some money that's out there. There has to be. I know I'm paying a lot of taxes myself, and I mean, this committee is just as valid as any other one. You know, the goal is before the legislature.
And I agree that the people that there are some funding issues out there for technology. My next question might be something that you may be able to answer, Dean, is this testing, this keeping this up to date, is there a school, a student project, something that has the ability to do this that we can go after as a I don't want to say a volunteer, but you know, is there a class that someone could be getting credit on this to do so that I mean, I realize it's costly time wise for vendors, for people who are in the money making business to do this and offer it up free to the commission. But can we make this a win-win for someone? Is, you know, once you have it set up so that they know what we're looking for, what we're doing, that they could maintain it and that they could test the documents or the vendors as a
project.
As a
internship.
Yeah. Each once a year to run the documents through or to send those documents. Is that something that is out of the line, or is there?
I think creating the tool is definitely within the scope of a you are probably at least a bachelor level in computer science to create that tool. Maybe your master's thesis or a project or something like that. But to create the tool that would be of the caliber necessary to go forward with it, that's definitely in the scope. To run it and use it is probably outside the scope just for the sake of time. They're going to move on and get their doctorate or get a job. And running and using the tool is different than building it. But building the tool definitely, I think, is within the scope of a project like you're describing. Running it is actually quite a bit easier. Would be quite a bit easier. And I don't know that wouldn't fall outside the scope of MCRA person. A person that belongs to the MCRA, you know, a county, a person in a county that you each pick a month, right? This county's running it this month, the next county's running it. There's many ways to skin that cat.
Dean, you mentioned MCRA.
MC, Minnesota County Recorders Association.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
So basically, you're saying if a vendor would like to start business in Minnesota, and they need to be certified, we would just pick a county to run it through.
You run
their system.
Well, I think you'd pick a technology person within one of the counties belonging to the Minnesota County Recorders Association to use the tool to throw the documents at the system and get back the expected results. And that system can be in Singapore or on the desk in front of them. It really doesn't matter. The technology person in the county could use the tool to throw it, get the results, and interpret the results. Because the tool's going to... I envision the tool having the ability to create the good and bad and then interpret the results of the good and bad. And I brought this up... I mean, it sounds way tangential to my first... I brought this up to say there's few now... Moving forward is easy, and I agree. Don't. I wasn't suggesting even remotely to slow down what's happening to do this. My point in bringing it up was it's small. There's few numbers right now. And if the numbers stay few, but the volume goes up, great. We don't do anything and just keep coasting. But once the number goes up, like Mike said, then the conversation has to change, and we got to figure out, are we just going to let it go, or are we going to
We should be prepared for that, though.
I believe so.
Because I do believe that, you know, right now we kind of just are limited to the vendors that do business in Minnesota, and we are limited to the submitters in Minnesota. That will change. I'm assuming it will change. Over the year. I mean, I look at the number of e-recordings I had 5 years ago, and I look at the number I have now, and that's just with the same submitters. I hope to have more submitters. I hope to make that percentage much higher. If that gets higher, aren't there going to be companies that want to get into the business?
The issue that I think Dean is raising, we have up until now said that if we're going to be pushing and promoting Model 2, the responsibility for validating that those documents are the same is the county recorder's offices and their systems. And that's not going to change here that I foresee in the near future, because it only is going to become more of a major issue when you get to Model 3 type documents, electronic documents.
That you can, in theory, do lights out.
Right. And in theory, you'd be able to do more validation on that end. And it won't be just site validation, which is what really we've said is our validation mechanism for Model 2 in Minnesota. And we're all comfortable with that because it's the same as we do with paper documents. So in that sense, I'm comfortable with where we're at, even if we expand dramatically in terms of the number of submitters. I mean, let's assume it becomes commonplace that every law firm in the state of Minnesota routinely wants to start recording electronically real estate records in every county in the state. They're not big users. There may not be a big advantage for Dallin or Jeff, you, or NGO to go out and try and recruit their business, because maybe they only do 20 documents a year. But it's going to become more convenient for them to do it electronically. And they're going to rely on whatever technology systems are out there for, you know, sending it through the internet to come to us. And then it's going to be dependent again on us of whether we accept it. And the real issue then is going to come security. What type of security do we require? And, you know, encryption and all this sort of stuff. Because then there'll be the questions coming from those same lawyers. You know, somebody forged this. You know, is this a real document? And that gets to be the issue that I think we have to be more concerned about than anything else, you know, because that will be the thing that would kill the use of this technology in the state of Minnesota in that sense. But I guess for now, I think it's something we need to keep talking about and thinking about and looking at for the future. But I don't see it something that we need in the next 6 months, and probably in the next year or even 2 years we can get by with it. Unless somebody wants to start doing Model 3 recording in Minnesota again, and there will be some that may want to do that, we're going to have to still find a way to certify the receiving systems for those counties. But I don't think we need to worry about certifying submitters at this point, as long as we're dealing with Model 2, because that submission is going to be controlled by the county in terms of whether or not it's going to meet the state standard. Now, a submitter may turn around and say, you know, Mike, you're rejecting this, but, you know, Larry over there is accepting it in his county. How come? And then we're going to know that we've got an issue here.
It isn't. The same way when you were talking about forgery, what difference is that between...
But that's where the judgment call gets made right now, and that's where the responsibility lies, is with the county recorder's office in terms of whether it's a recordable document or not. And we have created a standard here that says this is the standard for recordable documents electronically in Minnesota, and you're supposed to be following the state law, and each county will interpret it as it interprets it. Now, I'm assuming all the systems that use, you know, one vendor's receiving system probably interpret it the same way. But then when you get a county recorder that looks at a document, the physical appearance of it, they may make a different decision than a county using that same vendor's receiving system who looks at it and says, well, no, I won't take this one, and the other one will. And I don't know that that's any different than, Bill, what you deal with on a day-in and day-out basis with your TriMin system now, or what Fiddler does, or Dean, what you do with yours, or that sort of thing. And I guess that's going to be the county responsibility, I think, and they're going to have to deal with it. I'm assuming submitters, as they sometimes do now, ask those questions of, well, why can I do this in this county but not in this county? Just like I had asked recently about an organization by the name of the Blessings of Liberty,
can't figure out why they can't record 20-some million dollar liens against the sheriff and the county recorder in Hennepin County, but they can go up to Anoka County and record that. And some of my elected officials are wondering, why does Anoka County permit that to be recorded?
They need the $46.
$4,000 worth of filings in the United
States. Really?
$4,000?
In recordings and certified copies.
You are missing out, pal.
Reportable is recordable.
They're going to file liens on you. Might as well take them in your own county.
Well, they're doing it in Sherburne County and Anoka County. And
Crow Wing, don't forget Crow Wing.
In Crow Wing County.
Oh, Crow Wing, too.
Their house has been foreclosed. Well, anyway, that's a whole separate issue. But I mean, it's an example of the sort of thing that does go on, that, you know, individual counties make that decision. I wonder if we can kind of bring the whole discussion back to what do we need to do to move forward. And I think probably a half an hour ago, Jeff, I thought, did an outstanding summary of where I think we're at and what we as a commission, I think, need to do at this point. And I guess I wonder, is everybody on the commission comfortable with us going ahead and posting the work that Dean has done out on our website for public comment here during the next month, and for us as a commission to consider taking it up to approve as a standard going forward to supplement that which we've already got as our current version, complying with PREA's 2.4.1, and that's what we would be looking at trying to do here for next month. We, in turn, would add on to the agenda just kind of an update on where PREA's at with 3.0, and probably, you know, for those that go to the conference to get somewhat of an update at our March meeting about what took place on that front, and in future meetings consider how we might move forward another version that would do what we've already done with 2.4 or 3.0, and maybe put a work plan together of what we might do in that. And then we've got to discuss future things about how do we support these things and how long before we would migrate to one, and how long would we admit either system version to be acceptable for periods of time, just like every other technology group does with standards as they change versions and upgrade and so forth. And again, we're not equipped with a lot of funding to do a lot of that sort of stuff here either, but it is something that we're going to have to address going forward for the future. Now, commission members, are you comfortable with that in terms of a plan of action to move forward here for the next month's meeting?
So our next two agenda items on our next meeting is the new version, we call it
the 2.0, right.
And then approving the
schema that accompanies it.
Schema.
Right.
I have one question before we go on with that.
Yes.
If we're looking at approving something 3.0, then we can then approve that later?
Yeah, because
it's not even available. It hasn't been adopted yet. Yeah. Once it's adopted, we've got some internal work to do here, much like what the previous committee did, and they'd have to do their homework before commission would act on anything like that.
And could we then start that so that is there enough of it that we're sure we'll go through that we can start that.
That's what hopefully Bill and any others that are at the conference in March can report back to us to let us know where it's at, and then we can make a judgment at what point do we want to take our resources and begin to look at it.
I don't want to keep spending our resources and always be one step behind.
Are you using XP operating system on Microsoft? You haven't gone to 7.0 yet, or are you using business? Okay. There's same issues.
Spend your summer filet and drive.
I am so grateful for the resources that have been put into these issues from private individuals that I don't want to misuse them and have them spinning their wheels to where they they have to do this project and then they have to turn right around and do it again. So that was where it's coming from, is if we could eliminate steps in there so that they didn't have to be redundant in their time. But you're kind of telling me that's not possible. So
typically software would support the current and the one behind. That's pretty standard with technology. I expect we always will. It's going to take a while if 3.0 gets out there, and it will eventually. We're going to have to support 2.4.1 for a really long while. Yep. And that's fine. And then when 3.2 comes out, you know, then we'll have to say, well, decide what we do about 2.4.1. But then we're going to have to do 3.0 or 3.1, whatever it's called. So, you know, it's very common in the technology industry. The current plus one back is kind of a rule of thumb.
Right. It's a lot of work.
And Janine, we won't really be able to approve a 3.0, even if we wanted to, until FREA approves it. And from what I'm hearing from Kay here, we're most likely... Thank you, Dean. Appreciate it. We're talking about, you know, sometime summer or after, before FREA will even have a formally approved it, before we can even consider adding another element to it. And I certainly, before doing that, would like to have a little bit more information from our vendors of what does it mean for them and what does it take for them to make that conversion. And you'll have had chances to look at that, and I think that will be important in going forward. So I don't see that as something that's going to happen in the next... Well, certainly not in the next 3 or 4 months. But we might be able to begin looking at the standard and looking at doing some of the homework that might take a few months to get us to the point where the commission can then deal with it. So, but if all commission members are comfortable with that, why don't we move forward with that approach, put it on the agenda for consideration and a formal vote to kind of amend the standard that we've adopted here last year, with the updated information from our committee and the schema overlay that Dean has given us to entertain. And we'll put that on the agenda for next month. And we'll put that on the website and let people know that the commission will entertain that formally at our March meeting. Any other discussion on that topic? Again, Dean and Pam, a big, big thank you for the work that you've done, and Larry and Chris for the work that you two have contributed consistently here over the last year. It's just been a real, real, real blessing, and appreciate that. And also for, you know, vendors that have taken the time to track it, follow it, suggest things, dialogue with us, at times be... frustrated with us and impatient with us, but still sticking with us and helping us move it forward and learn as we all go along. I thank that very much too. That's been very helpful. So that's very good. Let's go on. The next item on the agenda: year-end report discussion. You have in your file a draft of an outline, and it's more than an outline this time. And there are some table of contents and some items that are filled in here. And as your chair, I will take first responsibility that I have not done my piece of the project here yet, and I am sorry about that. I'm not going to offer any excuses other than it's just not done, but I will get to it. For those of you that have done your pieces and contributed, I want to thank you very much. I want to thank our staff in terms of the formatting and, you know, kind of what they've put together here as a approach for a report. I don't know if people have had a chance to go through it, take a look at it. People have comments or questions about what's there, any topic that we want to go through. I'm sure in the first item chapter about the history, you read that one thoroughly, and you probably don't see any mistakes in that one up to this point, and that's yours
near,
truly.
Near perfect.
Near perfect, right. First time I've ever been told that by Larry Deline. Anyway, that will get done, and I do apologize to you for not getting that here this past month, but I will do my homework, and we will get that included, and I'll send it out to all of you, and we've got that ready for you all to take a look at. So I don't know if we want to go through this. Diane, I don't know, is there anything that we should know or you want to take us through on this? Just go through it chapter by chapter?
Depends on what you would like to do. I mean...
Well, if we don't do it now, we'll be doing it at a future meeting, because you might, if there's some issues with the stuff that's already here, I think it would be good to
identify it and address it now.
Instead of waiting until the end to try to do the whole document all at one time.
Right. Yep. So do we want to go through it here chapter by chapter then?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just trying to... I had to sign in and sign off. And so anyway, I'm trying to get it on the screen, but don't worry about that.
That's all right. So we love the history.
Yeah, and the chapter settings, the error with the bookmarks, that's just because I haven't set it up yet. So don't worry about that.
And the adoption of the Model 2 standards.
That's extremely short, but I was told to keep it short.
It seems very succinct, to the point.
Should it have a date?
Of when they were adopted?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good idea.
Could be put in, sure. That's a good idea.
Where do you want that? I mean, what sentence?
I think we say that somewhere we put the be adopted, but halfway through that last paragraph, I think.
At the conclusion of the comment period, the commission reviewed the findings and made a few modifications based on the input and adopted the standards for use in Minnesota
at its July
blank meeting.
I think it was August or July.
Yeah.
Right.
Good idea.
Thanks.
Very historic day.
Janine lost her bet on that because it...
Oh, it was a month. Wait.
Yes, it was. I remember that.
But the work was done in advance. It just those notice time periods.
Right.
Any other comments about the adoption of Model 2 standards?
Or should there be any reference to the model police standards are effective or in place? Or I realize that.
Well,
I
don't think I put anything in about the new CREA 3.0. If we put anything in, it would be the...
This is supposed to be a report of what happened during
this 09, year.
09. Okay. We didn't do anything with Model 3.
No, we didn't. I just didn't know what there is.
Yeah. At least that's what I thought we were doing.
Right.
Because I didn't also put that, we started doing Model 2 at an earlier date. I left that out too because it really didn't happen during '09. We just expanded it.
The question that could be asked is, do we include any paragraph with the further enhancement of the standard that was adopted and the work that commenced during the second half of the year and developing a schema overlay for that? Do we make comment to that in here or not? It won't be finalized, of course, until this year. Is that necessary or not? That would be the only other thing that I could think of, Larry. And I don't know what commission members want. I'm comfortable with the way it is, but I also can hear somebody say that we should put something in there relative to that element or that fact that we
were... Was that a formal decision at a commission meeting, that would be in the minutes, Diane?
I'm sorry, I was fooling around with the document.
Yeah,
I think it was, Larry. I think it was that we
probably was. I don't know if I was at the meeting.
I just
sticking my mind.
I mean, you know, if you could just reference something about a subcommittee working on that allows, at least tells them what we're doing the last half of the year, because that has been, you know, since they were approved in July, then most. Yep. So the work we've been doing has been on the work you and Chris and the overlay of the schema.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the commission did anything, but that the work was being done on that. So,
so about the attributes then, working on the attributes?
The stuff that Dean's doing?
Yeah, there's, I could, the minutes from, there's a paragraph you could probably use in the...
Okay, I'll find it.
September, and was it, or
the August? November or the October minutes?
Okay.
I'll look too.
All right.
Email it to you. Huh? Do you have it?
Yeah.
Sally has it.
Sally's got it. Okay.
Well, I'll email. We'll be email it to you and see if you want to refine or recraft it. Okay.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Larry. Good job.
So done with that section, on to section 3?
Section 3. Why don't we go on economic benefits?
And this is only the private economic
piece.
Yeah, it needs a public sector yet. So.
And I'll say, I took this as, this is truly a draft. so, you know, definitely.
Feel free.
Feel free to edit and adjust. The other thing that I wanted to mention, I threw the table on that can be on there, not be on there, with the terms items for counties, and I'll explain that a little bit. So
yeah,
we can maybe axe it.
Let me just give you a comment about that. I think it's good information. However, I'd prefer, from my perspective, to have more of a range kind of thing on there. That during the, you know,
yep,
the 6 month study, the range was from this to this,
sure,
and the average.
Yep.
Would be fine with me, but then I think you need a little better explanation as to what the times mean, because I assume that the 46 days in the first example is from when you, is that the time that you sent it to the county till you actually get it back in-house and do your own data entry as to when you got it back?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you explain all of that and then put the ranges in there, I think I'd be very comfortable with that.
I think that would work good.
And it really supports what it is that you're
right
trying to say here, that turnaround times are very critical to you guys
right
now, and you need to get better turnaround times.
Because this gets to be, I mean, the chart gets to be way too long.
Yes.
Nobody's going to go through it all.
No.
And I don't have statistics on, I think, I had to go to a six-month.
Right.
Range. Unfortunately, the 3 month range looks better for recorders.
Yeah.
But I don't have enough statistical analysis on 3 months. I brought it into six, and even at six, I don't have, I think, four counties. Why
right
being one, because it doesn't include turn times on e-recording. So we e-record
right
exclusively with online. Even though some we e-record with, if it's an e-record,
right,
we discount. We don't put that into
right
these statistics.
No, because it's not.
It wouldn't be a
trying to
right
support,
right. So yes, I'll say the long-winded version is, I agree, we should just.
No, well, I'm glad you did, because it was interesting for me to see, and you know. Where
and it would be very interesting for informational purposes to our association.
Right.
But you know, if you know, you grouped and said four counties had a 20-day turnaround time. you know,
yeah, we can summarize this and
some
yeah.
sort of summary that sure. you know, that, X within this sure. range and X within that range or something.
You know, because and I don't know that anybody but us understands this, and so the simpler you can make it for somebody who's reading it.
Yeah.
You know, just to see the purpose of it, I think would be better. But I think it's excellent information, very interesting to see.
One of the issues also is, and I don't think we can do anything about it, and that's probably irrelevant, because your time frame has to do with calendar days, I'm assuming.
These are business days.
Oh, they're business
yeah,
days.
Yeah, we count business.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Because looking at the numbers that you got from my county, they don't
really I'm sorry. Calendar days for return, business days to record.
Right.
The two are different.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes.
So, because, as a matter of fact, when I put this up, I looked at your county.
I live and die by those
yeah.
business days, because that's how what we're supposed yes. to comply with. So when I looked at that, I thought, these must be calendar days,
yes.
because they don't coincide.
Right.
With what's going on in our county.
Yep.
And I think we need to be sure you identify that better
yep.
because
yep.
that the one group of numbers is, you know, the time it took to report it.
Yep.
The other is the time to return it.
Yep.
And so, like, you know, within so many days I've got that reported, but you don't get it back until...
Yeah, and I'll say from the private sector as well, one of our frustrations has always been if we have somebody checking on how quickly we're turning something over, mm-hmm. they'll call the county and they say, how quickly do you report something? And they'll say, 2 days, 1 day, and this, which is true. You'll get it reported in 1 or 2 days, but that's not necessarily when the document comes
okay.
back, which is, can be kind of
which
a misinformation.
See, we do track that in our county as to when we put it in the mail back, because
right.
that's the date that we're supposed to comply to for statute.
Okay.
And so, but then we don't have any control over how long the courier or the mail takes
right.
to get it
yep.
to you,
yep.
plus what you do with it afterwards when you get it.
Before
you know,
get
how
it
quickly
back.
Do you look at it, process it? I got no control over all of that.
Right. So. And these are pretty, I mean, I think they get to be, and I will say, because I looked at that, the one I went back and I checked what it was, an oak.
Yeah.
And I went into the mail room and I pulled an oak out and I said, how close are we? And we were, there's actually two, and the two were about 3 or 4 days apart.
Right.
But we're right in about the rain.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
so there was, I think it, there, you're always going to have a little bit of both. But
oh,
yes,
sure.
let's summarize this, and I think that is
yeah, because I really think it supports your,
right.
the reason for electronic
yeah.
recording to have some of that data there, because that's what you need is fast turnaround time.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially as we get back to some of the RESPA issues
yes.
with the lenders and some of the requirements.
Yep.
You know, in particular, you could look at, say, let's pick up Freeborn because they're not here.
They're at the first one. On
yeah, they're down. They don't sit at the table. But to say that a lender can comply with refunding money
yes.
back to a consumer is impossible in this scenario.
Correct.
And that's what's, you know,
right.
where e-reporting can help that situation.
Can I add to this as well? I think I agree with, you know, that's really interesting information. That summarizing would really help, you know, to give the big picture. But I get a little lost in the, like, you know, who did the survey, you know,
oh, sure.
some
that's a good idea.
Some very specifics around the data source and
yeah.
its intention, those sorts of
sure.
things I think would be.
Good idea.
You know, giving credit to the people that did it, those sorts of things.
In your 6 months, maybe you should have a
date range.
Date range.
Right.
Sure.
So we're going to keep the chart. It's just going to have more information to summarize it.
I think we'll
a summarizing paragraph.
Well, I'll try to figure out a way to
okay.
summarize
mm-hmm.
X percentage of the counties
mm-hmm.
are getting documents back within this amount of time, and then this percentage within this. Just so it's like four categories.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
And,
mm-hmm.
and maybe we even pick the 30 days and above. And so that it'll be
mm-hmm.
much smaller.
Okay, that'd be good.
And it won't specifically reference it.
I'm certainly not in the business of making any enemies.
And then Jeff, with this word right here, is that adoption?
Yes.
Okay. And
you may want to spell out RESPA because I don't know what that is. R-E-S-P-A.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay. Yep.
It's known as RESPA. I don't know that. Selling them is going to happen.
It's the real estate.
Just for, like, you know, somebody reading this.
Within the industry, we don't even know what it means. So.
Yeah, but the legislative members.
About for 2 years.
RESPA, it should be.
The A is S.
Or like,
yeah. It's the SP, I don't know.
I'll define HUD.
Okay.
I did that there.
It's the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act.
That's
oh,
right.
Thank you. Ooh.
Thank you, Rob.
Hey, Settlement right, Procedures Act. What's the E for?
Well, nobody's for real estate.
Oh.
Was it really?
Settlement Procedures Act.
Correct.
Procedures Act.
And A for Rob. He's listening and he's paying attention.
Yeah.
And he's having to work at it, besides, I'm sure.
So I know we talked about summarizing this for the counties, but is there still a concern that this really reflects that many counties are not meeting the statutory requirements the way it's laid out here? How could we sort of cover that piece? Because like you were saying, there's things that are outside of our control. Not that this isn't a real experience. That's the really interesting part from a customer perspective. But still, even if you summarized it, it just seems like all across the board we're all falling short.
I think once he puts in that he's doing the summary and that this is calendar days, not business days, once he puts in that this is the time they log it into their system, which includes mail
which
time.
Which includes mail time and that type of
okay.
thing.
Okay, you know, because I think all right. of that will...
Because
yeah.
it's a return date to him from the time
I think it wouldn't hurt to say that most counties
it.
Are meeting their yep. statutory return times, however there are things like the mail and
right.
whatever that and weekends or holidays that make the appearance of taking longer. Than
because I understand the 46 days from the day you send it, to the day you get it back?
I'll have to double check because we have so many status points. I thought it may actually be from the day it's received by the county because we logged that as well. So I'll
okay.
double check that.
Okay.
But it
okay.
is still the day. It does include the mailing back for sure.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Which would take.
Yeah.
But like Larry.
I know you don't do this, Jeff, but would it also include the time that it's sitting in a stack somewhere? Before you enter it back in.
Yeah, I mean,
just a,
right. Oh, no, generally our term time is 48 hours, so it's 2 days. So yeah, there can be a 2 day plus
long
right,
time
period in there.
It's processing
so,
time.
But you can take there's a couple days there, a couple days.
Yep, it all adds up.
You could, and then with calendar days, we could even probably take a standard date and say let's say two mailing, three or four buses.
Yep.
We could reduce that number by that.
Yep. So either what Larry said that this is that most counties meet the requirements, or that this is not a reflection on the county's ability to meet their statutory requirements, one way or the other.
It is honestly your return time in which you get to deal with your customer.
Yep.
Correct. I mean that is what you're reporting here is how long that it takes you to get back to your customer.
But included in there is our processing time.
Yes, mm-hmm. but ours is just part of the processing
correct,
time.
Correct.
Because this is your turnaround time. And then if somewhere in there you can reflect, and I realize that you, these counties that you only you report in, I think with that, and maybe I just didn't pick that up when I read it, but I think you should be sure and note that there is no gap. I know you talk about gap time, but with this number of counties, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you don't have any turnaround time. It's turnaround.
It's zero. Yeah.
So, I mean...
Oh, I see. With e-recording counties.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Because you do business this many with this many counties,
yep,
that you have no turnaround time. So my turnaround time compared to 46 days is what you're really comparing.
A day, yeah. Okay.
That's what you're really comparing. Right. Is.
And Jeff, have you done a similar analysis for e-recording in all these counties, how long that is in those counties?
We haven't, but we could include it. We just have to see what this
What I'm wondering is that would be a wonderful contrast.
Yes, it would.
Between what the paper world is that you've got and here versus what you've experienced,
that's what
Janine is getting at.
Yeah,
because Janine's county is zero, because they do all of the stuff in Janine's county.
We would probably say one instead of zero.
Right.
Right? One day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
because
well, you could put
30
seconds.
Seconds,
yeah,
45
seconds.
You could put in. I mean, if it was early enough in the day, you could probably report back to your customer on the same day.
Yep.
If it was late in the day, it would be the next day.
I was just thinking, you know, when you look at this, it's like, oh, those are zero, they don't mean anything. Well, they do mean something.
They do.
And the reason, I'll say, the zeros are like red light. Zero is because we haven't sent anything there in the last 6 months.
Some of them are.
Zero for you is because everything we've sent to you has been electronic. Although you can see we do electronic recording with Dakota, but Dakota has a number because we can't send everything to Dakota.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And you don't always send everything electronically to me, you just in the last 6 months you left it.
Right. Or I will say, or if we send it to you and there was an error, it gets kicked out of the bucket. So if there's, we don't count reject time or anything in there. So if we did send you something and it was rejected, you wouldn't reject our document. So yeah, this is the time, but this is the time that gets logged into our system, not our time to image and prep and that type of thing.
Yeah.
So pretty cool.
Very, very interesting information.
Yeah, it was.
Yep. So I will read, I'll do that, I'll summarize that, and then I'll list, is it okay then, the e-recording counties, I will list the particular ones, and then maybe Dallin, if there's some that I don't have that you have, you could add on to that.
Yeah, just let me know.
Okay.
Of course.
And maybe that should go under the public sector economic benefit segment?
Sure.
Or?
Yeah.
It's really benefit.
It's both. It's really both.
Yeah. And then I want to add something in there about the rejects, Janelle.
Who's supposed to be doing the public side?
Mike is.
Oh, Mike.
Any other things that I used to say in industry terminology that didn't make sense that the title knuckleheads would understand but nobody else would?
No.
Okay. And then I'll make sure we can Diane will help me a little bit cleaning this up as far as readability.
I don't think it's too bad. I think you did a good job.
Thank you very much. Moving right along, number four, the E-Well Disclosure Certificate Developments. Now, we were fortunate enough that Michael Convery sent this in to us, and when I read through it, I thought it really probably gave us even more than we asked for, but...
Yeah, at first I was thinking about, he said he was okay with deleting section, or modifying it slightly, but section, the second and third paragraph. If we need to kind of brief it up.
Well, I don't think it hurts to leave it as is, because they probably haven't had an opportunity to blow their own horns over to
right.
He was really excited to write it.
I think we should just leave it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. This is a minor thing, but, you know, when we get to E, he has a dash on his hyphen, his EWEL certificate. Before we get to the ECRV, the Department of Revenue doesn't have a dash. And that's the way they submitted it, so...
You can probably
make that consistent.
Okay.
Yep.
Which one do you want? Hyphen or no hyphen?
Why don't you turn the page? Huh? I never remember that.
No dash?
No dash.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But if you see something, let us know.
So should be this, the recorder? Caps.
Well, it was very informative, and I think they have really made some gigantic strides, and I don't mind seeing their horn get blown a little bit, because they did take the bull by the horns here and finally push something forward, and I only wish it was being used more by submitters.
It was a little too late.
Well, yeah, the avalanche is over, isn't it?
Exactly.
Now they all just say, same as before, no change, no change, no change. Yeah. Well, any other comments on number four? If not, we can go on to the ECRB development topic. And this was, again, Department of Revenue was gracious enough with Jason Parker to help us with this little piece. There are touting, of course, their activity in Dakota County. And Teresa, are you still on the line?
Yeah.
Teresa Mitchell? Okay.
CRB. What did they mean? They talk about the hyphen CRB.
I called them last.
Yeah, like real estate.
I called them last.
Yeah.
Is
it?
They get into a little bit of 20010 material and so forth. And yet there is that kind of overlap between the end of last year and when they started, and to have any numbers at all, you've almost got to do that. So I guess it didn't bother me, but that was the only thing that I guess I saw as a highlight issue here. But
do you think there needs to be a little bit more entry?
Like an explanation?
It kind of goes into, you got to remember your readers on this are your legislative members have no clue what it is, and it's kind of jumps right into the ECRB.
Mm-hmm. Some definition.
Oh, what this is and what it's used for.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What it is and what it's replacing.
That's because we haven't had an opportunity to plan with you. We're planning on our own, but he doesn't know that.
Secret plan.
That's right. We know it's working feverishly now, right? And whatever comes around, we'll be ready to go. And we added a field in our system 3 years ago to accommodate an ECRB number.
So we should plan to be done.
Yes. Yes, they have. He just doesn't know it.
He just must put in that.
Yeah, so I think he did.
Larry, would you be willing to put something together on that introduction, on that piece?
Sure.
Of the CRB.
We're all in. I'll send it over to him and make sure he's okay with it.
Mainly just, you know, what it is and what it's used for and how it's replacing the paper document.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that, I'm not so sure that now that I think about having my coming mentioned, I'm not so sure I like that. So I'm going to ask him about that, too.
You don't like having it mentioned?
No, not the way he's got it listed here. Because, you know, I think
It's you know, negative.
Like, yeah.
We haven't done anything.
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
That's not true. Because
yeah.
We have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're just waiting on them.
Exactly.
But and you know maybe you know the intent is to say we have that many other counties lined up
mm-hmm.
as early
right.
adopters.
Yes.
You know, it's not that you're
yes.
not.
So you could be put a little more positive.
Positive spin on it.
We actually made money too to be involved in this.
Right, and I think it's okay that we name those counties. We just need to name them differently.
Yes, that would be okay if it was done in a different.
Yeah,
way.
Yeah, because it, here it says like you haven't done anything, but that's not true. They're just not ready to move into your county yet. So you know preparations are being made.
Exactly, because otherwise I'd like to change and say we paid money to be an early adopter, but hasn't.
So far, you haven't
seen nothing,
yeah.
The next early
I'll chat with Bob about that.
Larry, you can just change that and just say that the next early adopter counties, and then list them, will begin working with the state as throughout the rest of this year.
When the state gets around and talking to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and our schedule, you know, right now it's scheduled, but.
But I was glad you put a little paragraph in here about funding, or a sentence, I should say, or two sentences.
Should there be something in there about both counties and private sector entities have contributed to the
yes.
financing of this piece?
Good idea. It might be a very good place to put in how much money counties and the private sector has put into this.
Mm-hmm. And he had that right in one of his slides.
Yes, he did. Way back. I think he did.
And because I think it's important for information to know that, you know, the state isn't producing this.
No, the counties and the private sector.
The sectors are doing it.
And a footnote that says, and the DOR has not found it necessary to accept other voluntary contributions or resource time.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, do it.
We tried.
Although they have been offered.
They have not cash. No gifts, just cash.
Jason might be on the phone, you know. What is the sentence you wanted under the funding? Is it the last sentence?
No.
Oh, I meant not that, but my
yeah,
the one before that.
I know what it is, and I'll call Jason.
Okay.
Good reason.
The recognizing the contributions that the counties and private mm-hmm. entities made is really what the...
Mm-hmm. Both counties and private sector entities have contributed to the success of this effort financially, and it would be nice if you could put to the tune of blank, blank...
You know, I'm wondering too. I mean, if this is coming from the commission to make a statement as yet funding for ongoing and continued maintenance, should it say something like the state says that the funding hasn't been identified?
The state is still trying to identify.
Right.
Because yeah.
It sounds like the commission is saying this,
yeah,
and it's really not their thing right now. Does that make sense?
Say it one more time, I'm sorry.
Just that last sentence sounds like the commission's making that statement, and really
mm-hmm.
Jason's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The state is making
mm-hmm.
that statement.
Mm-hmm.
And so Larry said...
the Department of Revenue.
Yeah, the Department of Revenue. What did you say?
The state is still trying to identify...
Right. Or the Department of Revenue reports that they are still...
Something like that.
I was wondering, Larry, also in what CRB, do you think we could stick the number probably somewhere close to the top as to how much state e-tax is collected through, I mean, that total number probably, it would get people's attention.
I know, Greg, you don't see it.
And add mortgage register tax, too?
Well, but CRB is for
right.
particular state e-tax, right?
The streets are
pretty it's state e-tax related, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that there is an absolute tie between the two because, in theory, if the document is over, if the
the monetary exchange over $500 is $1,000 requires a CIV. But it also requires deed tax. And I don't think that they're, you know, I think you could do away with the CRV form, but you wouldn't be able to do away with the deed tax. I don't think they're tied together. It's just a mechanism to report, but there's also a place on the deed where you have to write down how much tax. You need to know what the exchange was in order to figure that out, but they can tell us too. So I don't know that, since this is going to the legislature, they should already know that.
Okay. They know how much money they're getting from this source, you're saying?
They should.
You really think they know that?
I'm sure that they don't all know it, but well, it's like dealing with, I think, some of the. I can remember when we had a room full in your basement at the Hennepin County Government Center, and we had that one seminar, and we told everybody how much we got to keep of that. They were all astonished because they thought it was a county deed tax.
Right.
And you get to keep a measly 3% of it. So the title companies were all amazed at it. I don't know if and I think we told them at that meeting how much money it was. It was a huge amount of money.
Yeah. It's
right.
If you
just look at it.
They might decide to raise it though, yeah.
Out of vital statistics, how much we send to the state, you know, they keep talking about what our own allotment's going to be and where we're going to come up with that money. Oh, I'm just going to stop sending the money to the
state.
We're going to unallot to the state. That's what I said. I'll keep what I make and you guys
or,
keep what
or
we
we'll
make.
Raise our percentage. With 10 instead of 3. Yeah.
Well, even the recording fee. I mean, 20 to 25% of all recording dollars collected go to the state of Minnesota. Now, that one they do let us keep a higher percentage of, but.
They slipped in a much higher amount than they raised it. Okay.
All right.
The last section then? 6.
Recording growth and future perspectives.
And this is the section that you were talking about, Larry, where we're looking at percentages, not the survey results.
Right.
Not the raw numbers.
Right.
And I had in my notes from last month that Bill, Larry, Chris, and Janine, I think, was talking about working on that.
They needed it,
It was a committee.
It was a group.
Yeah,
sure.
She chimed in
on the phone. She didn't want to. She was afraid that if
somebody had already mentioned I hadn't done anything.
She was afraid what I had assigned her to do because she hadn't.
Because I'm on the phone. but I think there too that the comparison numbers should be in brackets and not by county, probably.
Right. No.
And we should have that.
I think the main message here is to say that to date, the recording electronically has been minimal, but with the rollout of these new standards for Model 2, making it possible to do entire packages, that the future prospect for electronic recording starting in the second half of this year and going forward will grow substantially. That's the primary message, and if there'd be some data to compare, to, we could always draw on Joel in Dakota that is now reporting by the end of 2009 that 10% of all of his documents were coming in electronically. And I think that's a pretty good indicator if that's, you know, what... And Diane, you wanted to...
Oh, I was going to say, so there's that part of it, but the future perspective, I remember we were talking about with the attributes, the Model 2 attributes and the schema. Should that more go in this section, or should it go into the adoption of Model 2? What was talked about for the future perspective? I know, Bill, you had a lot of input on that one.
That was a whole month ago.
You know, it was right after the holidays.
Yeah.
But you were so eloquent, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's like, the what's the next steps for the commission?
You know, I think if we were to draw on some of the skills of those that have written books in the group that would help us with that particular segment, I think that would be a real plus. Because
people have written books on this subject?
No, just books. If we,
I don't know how much fiction you want.
If in this section we talk a little bit about
the Romans coming in.
Following the free
ongoing work, really,
you know,
Well, and I think we can talk about what I said at first, but then talk about that the future is to continue to align ourselves with the CREA national standard, and to, you know, continue to find ways of maintaining a standard and supporting it. I don't know if we talk about the funding issue. I mean, that's probably the place where it needs to come in, is the future, because in order to maintain standards, I think, ongoing, there's going to have to be a time when there's got to be some dollars associated with it to help maintain that.
Maybe talk about it as a challenge for the commission.
Yeah.
It's a nice code word. Do you think that title, Recording Growth and Future Perspective, is that fine?
I think that's fine.
Okay. So,
could you, maybe it should be e-recording growth and future perspective, because that's really what we're...
Sure.
Because, I, you know, who knows what...
Small e, no hyphen.
Yeah, I would agree. E-recording growth and future perspectives, yep.
Okay.
Because that's what we're about.
Maybe we ought to look at... I know this is just 2009.
Well, this is the future of this.
Right. Can we put in there somewhere? Can we go to those first five counties and compare from then to now in recording?
First five counties.
The pilot. And go from, like, you know, where I record one.
So, isn't that more of the history? Wouldn't it be
more of history?
Are you going to talk about the pilots and all that?
I had not planned on getting into that. Unless
you did have that one document.
Unless we want to lift some of that from prior
the
reports.
Yeah, it was pretty thorough in that area.
The difficulty you're going to have, Janine, in doing that is Hennepin's taken a sabbatical for the last year on doing electronic recording, so it will skew your numbers off. But
no, I was just, you know, I'm just surprised at what Wyon County does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
When you go from one every month or four a month to that many a day,
yeah.
I just think that you must, well, you're not at right now, but other counties must be doing the same thing, or the number of counties from five to how many e-record now is growing.
Yeah. We were at 2% of all of our documents when we did the sabbatical, and that is without doing any model tools.
And that was only SATS assignments and
certificates
of release.
Correct.
Amazing.
Correct.
Imagine.
I was just thinking under e-recording growth is that we could put something in there with the change in moving to Model 2,
yeah,
what that did to increase the numbers we get to do.
Right.
But, not times.
Yeah.
That where it's, you know, like projecting that it's going to
continue to increase, yeah.
Alan has assured me in Hennepin it will be more than that just from his work alone.
Absolutely.
Half 50% of your documents. Yeah. Start right out of the shoot, 50%.
Colorado Constitution. Which state?
Colorado.
They don't?
Yeah. Certain counties? Yeah. And some are now mandating e-recording particular documents only. Because of this.
Well, they were going to mandate. One second, I have a green
that was sure. That was Kevin Campbell,
though? Huh? I don't have all of them. You, me, and me, and Chris.
Chris. Yes.
So I added.
That'd be great.
I'll get all that down. I can email it.
Okay. I think I
should submit or something.
Yeah. I think you're correct. Well, I can just let you do that and compare it with the comments I've put in the cover.
That's pretty tough.
You mean I should have been paying attention?
That's pretty tough rules here.
All you have to do is these.
She's wrote it down in the
back. Diane wrote it all down.
What?
Oh, good.
What?
That's why you're recording.
Were those thorough, those notes? That you just took on the,
should
be included in that section.
yeah, sure.
As
no. I'm sorry. I'm leaving it up to you guys. I added some things, just the members, the names of the members, and your appointing organization business affiliation, then, too. And for Pam, since she was appointed by the ERERC, so I put that in here. You know, here as a technical member, okay?
Yeah.
And then just add statutes. This is similar to what the task force had in their annual report. They had the members in the task, the statutes at the end, or session laws, I should say.
The enabling statute, is that what that is?
I'm sorry?
The enabling statutes?
Correct.
Uh-huh, yep. Mm-hmm.
I didn't read through those because I didn't have time.
And one item I will just mention that we'll have on probably next month's agenda also is the in the enabling statute, county appointments were initially for 2 years, and the outside appointments were for a 4-year term. So county appointments will be up here at the end of June, and so one of the things that we'll need to be doing is sending notifications to those organizations who have the appointing authority to deal with that. So MACO in this case will be the party that will need to look at the appointments, because both Janine and I and Ryan Tangan will be up here at the end of June. So those will be an issue that we'll have to deal with here on a future agenda, but I thought I'd just give you all a heads up on that too. So
okay.
It comes out when you read Appendix B, the enabling legislation. Did anybody think there was any other appendices that needed to be attached? I thought about what we did in terms of the attributes, but I thought, no, that gets to be too big a deal. The one item that I did think possibly somebody might find of some interest is the document types that were included in that.
Just that listing of what is it, 10 or 11 or whatever.
Yeah, correct. And I just throw that out for discussion. I'm not saying it should be in there, but would that give anybody an idea? Now we're including deeds and mortgages, and we're including that whole array of notices.
Well, I don't know that the 10 or 11 would cover that. I think if you do that, you should
also 60 some.
You should have the underlying documents that fall into each one.
Into those categories.
Categories, yeah.
And you do give a link, you know, it's linked on the website, too. So when we, you know, the idea is to send this around electronically primarily.
Right.
And so we can enable the links, you know, in the PDF document.
And maybe that would suffice.
So when the senator so-and-so is sitting at one of those boring four sessions, they can always click on the link and read.
That or the Star Tribune.
Toss up.
It's better than sleeping.
Because it's better than sleeping. Just satisfaction and assignments. And
yeah.
That, and now we can do
yeah.
all
well,
right.
That was the
interesting.
Only,
the number, that's where
the,
to put
the
it.
The number of document types is going to have, you know, it has expanded and will continue.
Yep.
So I
right.
think it's going to come along.
It's 26 pages right now. And
including the
chart will come out.
Yeah, the chart's going to come out, so they'll give or take, yeah. Uh-huh. But then that other future perspective is like a huge.
Oh,
I don't think
I'm thinking too.
Well, any other questions then from any of the members? Other suggestions, comments?
When do you want this?
When do we need to have this wrapped up?
Our next meeting is March 18th.
I would think you'd want to have it close to being done.
I would hope that we could have something in the way of a final draft to be looking at that meeting to approve it and then just to move it on. If we don't get it to them by
so then. The Thursday before whatever that date is?
I think that would be beneficial, yep.
Does that work for you guys? Mm-hmm. Close the business?
Probably about the 11th of March.
That's important.
Yeah.
This is trying to let your business close.
Did you see what time I emailed it out last night?
About 9 o'clock at night.
I didn't know it was that.
Well, 4:30. 3 o'clock. 8 a.m.
I learned that the LCC is 24/7 this time of the year.
Yes, you just never know.
Calling me?
Okay.
There's a lot of coordinating to be done.
Yep.
So.
Well, anything else then on this from any of our members? Thank you for your input here on this. I appreciate it very much. So, back to our agenda. Other business items. I already covered the other business item that I had. Diane, do we have anything else?
I don't think so.
If not, a motion to adjourn would be in order.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. That's non-debatable. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you very much.
Say, I got a call this last week and somebody asked, and I don't know if anyone ever did this, but when you took documents in level 3, anyone, you just converted them to TIFF.
Sorry.